Yeah, no. No, you can tell Tom Cruise, I'm not doing his project. I'm just not interested. Yeah, you tell him. Tell him he's going to have to pay more. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, hold there. I've got another call coming in. Steven Spielberg, darling.
Oh, God, you've done this so many times before.
Shut up.
You've done
Spielberg,
this joke.
Spielberg, darling.
Well, I'm not accepting it. I'm sorry.
What, fucking you want me to be in Jurassic Park
because we won the award
or something?
Because we won the award, it's gone to Paul's head, and now he's getting calls from lots of celebrities.
Well,
1980s.
Spielberg. How much?
1980s based celebrities, because that's as far
10 million
as his
for the role.
Fucking mind goes.
No deal. I have to get out of bed.
You
much
can't
earlier
think of
in
anyone,
the
who, anyone in the last 20 years who's famous.
Lady Gaga. What's this? Hello, Lady Gaga.
That's 15 years
you
ago.
Wanna, you want to do a
She's
duet?
Been famous for 15 years, Paul.
Chapel Roan. what's that one?
Is she
like?
On the phone to you?
Yeah, ring what ring. She goes, do you want to do a song with me? Oh, I'd love to.
Is she on the phone now?
Yeah.
Oh, she goes. I mean, I don't understand.
She's on the phone to me now.
She's on the phone to you now.
Ring ring. Yes, she's on the phone to me now. Hello,
can
Chapel.
Can you tell her?
Hello, how
can
are you
say
doing?
Hello for me.
What's that? Charisma Carpenter, and you want to do a duet? Trebet with me. What
Charisma Carpenter.
Yeah, Charisma Carpenter. I don't know, maybe
Christina.
She's the actress from. It's Christina. Charisma's the actress from the Buffy the Vampire Slayer series. An angel.
Oh, can we start again? Because it's really.
Anyway, I'm going to have to turn you all down because we're the award winning Cheap Show podcast. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Cheap Show's won something for the first time ever in its life. That's
apart from the World Cup of Comedy podcast.
Yeah, I've got that here. Look.
We've got two awards.
Two awards. One award for you and one award for me. It's a little golden G that looks like an ear as well. That's the golden lobe for grower, not a shower award.
That's the one we won.
Which I can never explain. My mum was like, what's that mean? And I was like, it's about an audience
terrible
thing.
Name for it.
Yeah, you got
why
a
don't they just
penis?
Call it the love of the audience?
Love the audience. I don't know, but it basically means we're best it the cult it podcast, isn't it? We're best cult podcast.
We best big boy, best
big
cult,
boy cult.
Top pod, top fucking mod pod god.
No, that's mod, exactly
top,
how I was going to explain
top,
to it.
Hey,
yeah,
who's
no.
the top boss cult pod round here?
We are.
I'm going to give him a Chelsea smiler.
We're the top bod best podcast.
Well, we the top boss pod cult pod cult. Cod, bod, cod.
Now you see, now.
I'm going to give him a Chelsea smiler.
That is now just nonsense coming out of your mouth.
Scheherazade.
You can't just stop the podcast in
Scheherazade,
its flow.
Scheherazade, I'm fucking hard.
Close your legs, mate, please. There's a draft in, isn't there?
No, there isn't.
I can see your particular.
I've got a nice, smart.
I don't, you know
golf,
what? I just want to say this, then we'll crack on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the award-winning Cheap Show podcast.
It's a top pod, boss pod.
Shut up.
Press the fucking credits.
Paul Gannon, Eli Silverman. Welcome to Cheap Show.
Sources and words and phrases. Two things I'm responsible for.
Chodney Borough.
I hate you. You're fucking evil posse.
Cheap Show tonight.
Cheap Show tonight. It's the price of shite. Cheap Show tonight. Welcome to Cheap Show.
I've got a question for you.
Have you, darling?
Yes.
Go on.
Who's the top boss pod mod? Hey. Let's start a fish-based podcast.
No.
Cod pod.
No. I'm not going to go along with this. If you could say I'm not going to go along with my
cod
opening
pod.
Gambit.
It writes
I'm not
itself.
Going along
cod
with this.
Pod.
I'm not going along
what,
with this.
We could have different sections for different types of fish.
This is a dead segment to me. This segment is
what
dead.
What dead segment?
This sketch is dead. This segment is
the parrot.
Dead.
You're doing the parrot sketch now.
Yeah.
Everything is a reference to things from 30 years ago with
That's
you.
That's not true.
I'm coming up with new stuff now, Paul.
Mate,
it's clear this is the evidence.
Somebody stop me. Smoking.
Yeah. I had a whole suite of things I just did right at the top of the pod.
Yeah.
The top boss.
All you just
like
did
cod
was,
pod.
Yeah, that's all
that's
you did,
That's fucking
though.
Genius.
Hello, welcome to Cheap Show, the comedy comedy. Oh, fuck off. Hello, welcome to Cheap Show, the comedy.
I'll do it. My voice is together, and I can do it.
Just do it, then.
Hello, and welcome to Cheap Show, the economy pod
See, fuck done. Now you're just going to say cod, pod, bod for half an hour.
No, I'm not. Hello and welcome to Cheap Show, the economy
Why
comedy...
Why are you closing your eyes, Paul? Why are you closing your eyes? What's all that about? Are you so stupid that you can't...
To me. You were doing it to me. No. That's what you said to me last week.
Can I just do it with my eyes closed, please?
Yes.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Cheap Show, the economy comedy podcast for your ears. We go around the charity shops, bargain basements, jumble sales, and discount stores of Britain and beyond to find treasure amongst the trash and bring it to you.
And that is the format, largely week in, week out, of this award-winning comedy independent podcast.
Can I just say, Paul, multi-award-winning.
Multi-award-winning. Oh, we used to have one. One's good. We love one. One's lovely. But now we got two. Two special.
Two's better than
two,
one.
Two balances us out. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're best podcast and we're a good podcast. It's what we're great at.
Well, thanks to the audience, shall we say, then, for being the growers and not the showers.
That's what it comes down to. I'm trying to be sincere, and now you're doing a kind of stinky fart face thing.
No, it's the hot. I'm hot. Keep going. Do you know what helps? If you close your eyes and just ignore me while you're doing it.
Oh, I'd love to do that. I'd love to just face away.
Now.
I'm going to face away. How about I just face away from you for the rest of this recording?
I like that.
Yeah. You just look to the back of my head, which you're used to.
Why? Because of bamming you constantly.
No.
Constant bamming.
No.
We're like bonobos. We're like a bonobo tribe.
What does that even mean?
We speak through the language of lovemaking.
We don't.
Yes, we do. That's what they do. Instead of saying hello, hello, mate, how you doing? They go, wake you off.
Wake you off.
They
right.
do.
Do they?
This is true. Bonobos do this.
How do you ask for a cup of tea?
Come round. Ring job.
Pick up the arsehole cup of tea. Is that what you're saying?
Basically, yes.
Oh, okay. Pick up the arsehole cup of tea,
Funnel
please.
Funnel chicks for it.
Two sugars. Blop.
Two lumps. I'd like... And going to the post office and stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like that first class. Well, that's one little wank, a little nipple, nibble tick, a nipple on. Tick.
Come in my eyes. Dinner's nearly ready, is it?
Come in my eyes. Anyway, what we got coming up on the show, Paul?
I don't care. Okay, so we're going to do a Paul's Page Turners. I've got two books we're going to investigate today, and then a Gann's Golden Games, where I've got an electronic game to play from the 1970s.
Ah.
And I think this thing looks beautiful. I don't care how shit the game ends up being, this looks beautiful. And I love it, as almost as a piece of art. And we'll get to that later in today's show.
Is it something you haven't kept from mine eyes?
No, I've shown you this before.
Well, what is it?
Well, if I tell you now, then it ruins the moment later when we introduce it. So let's just hold on to that. I can tell you between takes if you want when we
can
stop.
Can you open the window?
Because I would. But you're going to scream cod, jod, pod, fod, cod. And people in the street are going to hear and think we're fucking mental.
I can't keep going like this. I'm sweating my arse off.
Well, give it little breaks between the major segments. How about that? Stop complaining.
Please, can't we just have some draft? A little bit, please. He's blowing his burp at me everywhere.
Yeah, that's a draft and flavour at the same time.
I don't need flavour draft.
It is. Flavour country Eli Silverman is where you're going.
Please crack the window. Come on. It's 27 degrees or whatever today.
Is it bollocks? Okay, Google, how hot is it? Why is it seeing
Why
Fahrenheit?
Is it everything in Fahrenheit
with you? I can't
change
it to Celsius. I don't know how. I mean, Something I do know how, happened. But it doesn't work.
Something has happened. You need help with that because it's ridiculous.
Okay, Google, how hot in Celsius is 72 degrees Fahrenheit?
Well said.
22.2. Okay. Well, still nothing to be sniffed at.
Especially get hay fever because then you'd be sniffing a lot. And I did get hay fever. You know what I do for
hay
fever?
And now we hand over to travel. Eli on travel.
I came over. There was some disruption in the Haringey area.
Yeah? Yes. What kind of disruption?
Well, I looked at my app.
Yeah.
Because I usually take the overground.
You do.
Down to...
Gospel Oak.
Gospel Oak.
Change.
And get one to Finchley Road.
Which you do. And then you get onto the metro
down
from there.
Down to the Finchley Road station and get on the metro line.
Yeah.
I like to do that.
Yeah, it's a good
There's
route.
Several reasons.
It's a good route.
It's a little walk in the middle of it.
Yeah.
It's above ground.
It's above board.
I like above ground. And also the other thing, it's very cheap.
Yeah.
It's £2.10. It has gone up, but it's £2.10 from mine all the way to here
I know,
and Harrow.
Good deal, isn't it?
That's a good deal for travel.
But yet, you say today there was disruption.
There was major disruption, and I looked and I was on the bus going down to Haringey Green Lanes to try and get on that train, and it said train, because I just like to check, you know.
My will to live's going.
And it said 118 minutes.
Oh, no.
Till the next train. Hello.
I'm not all that interested.
What's that? What's that?
I thought
118 minutes.
This would be a much shorter story.
It's fine. That's the end of the story, Paul. Well done.
What was the disruption, though? You didn't tell
me. Fire.
Fire.
Du, du, du.
Nature's consuming, wretched beast. Unscrupulous, uncaring, all fall to fire.
Do, do, do. I bring you to burn.
Fire! Who's that?
Do you know what that's about?
Crazy Arthur Brown's World of Sausages
world,
or something.
The crazy world of Arthur Brown.
Yeah, something. I was close enough,
he was big on the underground scene in London at the time.
He was indeed. He used to set his head on fire, didn't he?
He used to have a oil lamp, essentially, on his head. And it was known.
Aggressively dangerous
thing to do. It was aggressively dangerous. He burnt his scalp on many occasions.
You couldn't do that today.
You could not.
No.
Do you know what that song Fire's about, though?
Love.
VD.
Is it about VD? Yes. Is it?
I've heard him saying it. My balls were on fire.
No.
Do, do, do. I crack it open.
No, that's not how that song goes.
Thrush. Do, do, do.
I thought it was a metaphor about cleansing things. You know, like fire. Fire cleanses.
My scrotum is cracked.
I don't believe he wrote about VD for that song particularly. I think if you did hear that, that was him taking the piss.
Fire. I'm on a coach. My scrotum. I'm...
We're back to bonobo monkeys again.
No, I always recount my one encounter with Thrush, which was on a ski holiday.
Do you want to do that again then?
Yeah.
Why not?
Guess I was on the coach hits. And like getting on and off the coach. I'd sort of surreptitiously like the back of the seats.
It's trying to like a dog rutting on
basically,
the carpet.
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry, okay. Everyone. And it was very crispy, my whole scrotal sac.
Crispy? Like it's the skin like was dry and broken?
And it bleeds and itches.
And how long did it take to clean that up?
It cleared up by itself. It wasn't that... Well, I don't think it was that bad an infection.
Did you pass it on to anyone while you were there? Because you're a dirty bastard. Were you a dirty bastard? Did someone rummage in your Grundles and take home with them a dirty, sticky prize?
No.
No? You don't know that, do you? You don't know that. Did you have a dirty ski weekend and you passed on your grutty nuts to someone? Is that what you did?
When you put it like that.
Yeah. So someone went home from that ski trip after Le Mans with you and looked down to a foaming, cobwebby mess of hellscape.
Now you're starting to turn my stomach.
Plunge fudge. God.
Right, award-winning.
The award-winning Cheap Show podcast.
It's so warm in here, Matt. Oh, you have opened it.
Yeah, I have. And also, this is the time of day when the sun comes in through this window. If it was the other side of the house we recorded, we wouldn't have this problem. But unfortunately, them's the breaks when we're recording in the Harrow Haunted House on the Hill.
Yes.
Well, we've had a lot of fun celebrating our win, but I think it's time we get on with the show. So how about we turn the page and we start doing Gannon's at Paul's page turners.
Paul Gannon's page turners.
Paul's precious page turners.
Well, you don't need to change the name. It's just Paul's page turners.
Paul's page turners and Thea Turner.
Oh, dear.
Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Oh, dear. No more.
No, I haven't got any more. Bangers and mash, bangers and mash, they're chimps or imps, there's no mistake. We've used this song on the show before for various boring, stupid reasons.
Their song?
Yeah, Bangers and Mash by...
Chaz and Dave?
Chaz and Dave, which was the theme tune to a kids' show called Bangers and Mash, of the same name, about two naughty monkeys.
Early 80s, are we talking here?
Hang on, that's a good question. I think it might be late 80s, early 90s. This book was first published in IX, so 89.
Oh, is it late 80s?
Yeah,
okay.
It's in good condition. Anyway, so just to go back a bit, I went to Pinner, that charity shop I like to go to, the St. Luke's, so they always have odd little things there.
Hospice-based charity shops have high funk levels, as we've discussed before.
And I found two kids' books that I really wanted to have a look at. One is this, Ladybird, which is a famous kids' book brand, which I presume is still going, right?
Yes. They have a certain format for their books, don't they? The kind of very slim but hardcover. That's like their brand, isn't it? Ladybird. And I used to have loads of their ones when I was a really small kid.
Did you have like, I tell you what, did you have like the fairy tales that were retold by Ladybird?
I believe I did. And I had, Hans Christian Andersen. He did little abridged versions of those.
Ugly Duckling, Thumbelina.
That's right. I had those ones,
The elves and the shoemaker, whatever it is. But the ones I seem to remember, the ones which had the kind of glossy, like this one, the glossy
book.
This
has a glossy cover. It's in brilliant condition.
I've got Ghostbusters 2, the quote unquote novelization for kids version of this.
Nice.
And it's great when you pare that whole film down to like 12 pages.
Yes.
What it just skips through.
Yeah. So there was those things.
Puddle Lane. I had loads of Puddle Lane books. Do you ever remember Puddle Lane?
Yes.
Neil Innes' kid show.
I did never saw that again.
He was a wizard and he lived on Puddle Lane with a dragon little puppet and they told stories.
I remember the name again, but that was more late 80s, early 90s. Well, I'm showing my age difference because I would have been...
Oh, a bit older.
I was 5 in 1980.
Yeah.
So I remember stuff from that era, you know.
Yeah.
Which is sort of 10 years earlier, basically. The other big kids' book publisher
yeah.
that I remember was Puffin.
Puffin, yeah.
Puffin, which was the kids' imprint of Penguin, which is obviously a hugely yeah. successful book brand.
But they were slightly more mature books, weren't they?
Yes, but I had the Puffin annuals are the most... I've shown you, I've got the number two. They're so, like, folk horror. The stuff we were yeah. discussing...
Like we were discussing earlier, we're like, in that it period,
that
kids' TV was folk horror-y, folklore-y.
Sort of, I think it goes from, like, 71 to all the way up to, like, early 80s.
Yeah,
that kind of
early
80s. That kind of kids' media
yeah.
having that weird...
When basically video game
folkloric,
type, yeah.
That's the word you use. Yeah. That folkloric resonance to it.
And then video games came in and changed the landscape. And then after that, it was all Star Wars and yeah. Tron and whatever.
But I would love to show you the Penguin, the Puffin annuals. Well, they are annuals. They're a hardback annual yeah. format. And they've got, like, stuff to do, kids' stuff, and
yeah.
stories and things.
All right.
But it's all extremely weird by, like, today's standards.
Well, no, it's all...
standards.
Yeah.
Old bearded guys being really good friends with little girls.
Yeah, I've
that
never,
kind of
all
vibe,
that
you know?
Weird stuff where it's, like, it's totally fine for four kids from the local village to hang around with
yeah.
the creepy old man in the
yeah.
boot shoe house.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got a magic pocket. You know what I mean? It's that kind of thing.
Well, we've explored it ourselves on this very award-winning podcast with the Mulchy Fibbage character.
Indeed we have. We've dabbled in that genre.
Which I enjoy it.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. It's just a hard thing to pull off. Right, so bangers and mash is not a euphemism for a toilet packed with tissue roll and turds.
That's the other thing I was going to yeah. mention. That's from Viz, isn't it? Profanosaurus.
Probably. I don't know. It might be one of those terms that was around for years and Viz just popularised it.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Anyway, in this case, it started off as an animated cartoon series on Children's ITV in 1989. Yeah, I was right.
89, yeah.
And then it ran until about 1993. There was 25 five-minute episodes, and a video game was even based on the show that was published in 92. I didn't know about that.
And it sucks.
So it's created by Paul Groves and Edward McLaren. I think Paul is the writer and Edward does the very particular art for Bangers and Mash, the two monkeys.
It's cool.
It's cartoon-y. Got a nice style. Yeah. It's got a kind of comic book scribble style to it, hasn't
yeah.
it? Bangers and Mash are two troublemaking chimpanzees. They want to have fun, cause grief, and get into trouble on their island, which is like an island full of trees with houses. Like Donkey Kong, basically. You know, Donkey Kong
tree houses.
Yeah, like tree houses.
Are there other monkeys in the society they live in, or is it other...
Yeah, there is. Like, that's it, on the inside
cover
of the book.
Are they grown-up monkeys?
Yeah.
Like parent monkeys?
Yeah.
Oh, I love this artwork.
Yeah.
I have to say, the inside covers have these tree houses, and the trees are very stout, and they're just sort of sitting in this, you know?
But they're very kind of Middle England, semi-detached yeah. houses kind of drawing in a tree.
There's a ghost, but that's what.
Well, this
that's
is why,
this story, isn't
well,
it?
Well, this is why I picked that book and the other book that I've got as well, because they were both spooky ghost themed. And yeah, so that's it in a nutshell. The theme tune was by Chaz and Dave, which I think is a banger track anyway. And then the series was narrated by Jonathan Kidd. Who's that guy? He's been in One Foot in the Grave and Smith and Jones, and he voiced the call to Ferrero Rocher and Batata's reception advert.
He voiced that. Now, that is a claim to fame.
Yeah, he is obviously not the lady who goes, "Ooh, with
no.
these Ferrero Rocher, you are spoiling
no,
us."
No, but he's the guy at the end and goes,
"At the ambassador's banquet."
He's got one of those voices, you know, sort of a little bit smoky, a little bit deep.
He yeah? was the voice of Paddington Bear in 1997. And between 2016 and 2020, he voiced Big Ears, Scurvy, Noddy in Toyland, some detective thing. He's done loads of animated stuff, basically, it seems.
A voice actor.
Yeah.
British voice actor.
The Beano cartoons video as well. His mother's called Pinky. And she
what
was
do you mean his mother's called Pinky?
This Jonathan Kidd's
Pinky
guy.
Kidd?
Yeah.
His That's mother's... his mum's name.
Pinky.
P-I-K-I-E.
Pinky
Kidd.
And was one of England's first female advertising copywriters. And also played table tennis 11 times for England. She was the world doubles finalist in 1949.
Pinky Kidd.
Pinky Kidd.
Man.
And the Pinky Kidd.
Is that what she was called?
Yeah.
She was called Pinky Kidd.
I'm not making this up.
Pinky Kidd.
Pinky Kidd.
Pinky Kidd.
Pinky Kidd. Pinky, 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 Pinky Kidd. Pinky Kidd. So I thought what I'd like is Eli will read you now Bangers and Mash. But here we go. Here's Eli Silverman reading Bangers and Mash, Ghost Boast.
Bangers and Mash, Bangers and Mash, them chimps are imps, there ain't no doubt. Bangers and Mash, Bangers and Mash, I ain't a kidding you, them two keep monkeying about, they do. But Bangers and Mash, Bangers and Mash, all they want to do is have some fun. They never mean to do no harm, but you can guarantee they'll upset the apple cart, though accidentally. Mash and bangers, clangers come about quite frequently. Bangers and mash!
All was quiet in the treehouse at number 3 Tree Street, Chimpton, where Bangers and Mash live with Mum, Dad and Gran. The cheeky chimpanzees were out. They'd gone to play in the squelchy mud down by the pond.
Hello.
Lovely mud, said Bangers.
I like the voice.
Lovely mess, said Mash.
Yeah, all right, that'll do. I'm happy with that.
They were soon covered in mud. When it was time to go home, they decided to take some back with them. They sloshed it into their buckets and set off.
Oh, no.
It was a good job that Mum couldn't see them. Ooh. She wouldn't have been very pleased.
She'd be fucked off.
As Bangers and Mash were carrying the mud home, along came their friend, Petal.
Petal, hello.
Bangers says she is called Petal because she is like a flower.
Oh.
A cauliflower.
Oh, that's not nice.
Mash says she's like a flower too. A bag of plain flour.
Oh, they're very mean.
When they got to number 3 Tree Street, they all settled down on the step to make mud pies. Unfortunately, they dropped one, just as Gran was walking along the path.
Oh, not Gran.
It hit her on the head and slopped down her face. Never mind, Gran, said Bangers. Ladies put mud on their faces to make them beautiful.
Oh, naughty.
Mum didn't want Gran to have beauty treatment.
No.
Go and tell her you're sorry, she shouted. Clean the mud off the step, have a wash. Then go and play somewhere else and make sure it's a nice, clean game. So Bangers and Mash and Petal said sorry to Gran.
Oh, dear.
They washed the mud off their hands and faces.
Good.
And rode their bikes down to the pond. But they completely forgot to clean the step. There were mud pies all over it.
Dirty.
The chimps reached the muddy pond. There was a little house on the other side of the reeds, made from a bit of old drain pipe.
Ooh.
It was the home of Mrs. Snitchnose.
Snitchnose.
Mrs. Snitchnose was a witch and she didn't like the chimps.
No.
But that didn't bother Bangers and Mash. Let's pay her a visit, said Bangers.
They're going to get into trouble now.
So Bangers, Mash and Petal rode round and round the witch's house calling her names.
I bet it was some of it was rude.
Mrs. Snitchnose soon lost her temper. I'll teach them, she said, and reached for her broomstick.
Oh, God, it's going down.
The chimps pedalled off as fast as they could. Mrs. Snitchnose taxied down her runway. She gained speed, lifted up her underskirt. She was off.
Oh,
fucking hell.
She lifted up her underskirt.
I can see Mrs. Snitchnose's...
Snatch.
Snatch.
Snitchnose's snatch.
Oh, fuck me. On the
Mrs.
runway.
Mrs. Snitchnose's snatch.
Oh, I can get the whiff as she lifts
with
off.
With her big broom poking up between her legs.
Oh, she's doing a whole camel toe thing with her fucking broom. First Petal was in the lead, then Bangers, then Mash, then Mrs. Snitchnose nearly caught them.
Oh.
But the road forked suddenly and Bangers and Mash turned left and Petal turned right.
Oh no, don't abandon Petal.
That confused Mrs. Snitchnose. She went straight on and lost in the trees and got lost in the trees.
Yeah.
In the end, she went into reverse and flew back to her house.
No, gave up.
Bangers and Mash were in for a spell of trouble now.
Yeah, why? What's she up to?
That night, when they were safely tucked up in bed, Mrs. Snitchnose flew off to the gloomy old house that only witches know about. There she made a spell. A wobbly white ghost came out of the floorboards.
Mate, this is like necromancy in a kid's show.
The ghost rode behind Mrs. Snitchnose all the way to number 3 Tree Street.
It's like Satanism involved.
She put it down on the doorstep and told it what to do. Well, she's a witch, yeah.
Yeah, but it's proper bringing occult. Demons into it.
She's bringing fucking... It's a skinwalker.
Everything's a skinwalker.
Get in through the letterbox, she said. Go upstairs and frighten those two naughty chimps. Ooh, sniggered the ghost. I'll frighten them out of their skins. So the wobbly white ghost got ready to slither through the letterbox.
Get my wobbly white ghost, yeah, get my slithery, weathery
slither,
white
though.
Ghost. Yeah, slither. Spook.
Spook.
Roy J wrote this.
What? Why are spooks and slithering? I don't understand.
It,
why
in, it must have been
slither.
In the cultural atmosphere at the time.
Yeah. Crash! It slipped on the mud pies that Banger and Mash had forgotten to clean up.
The non-corporeal spirit slipped on something tangible.
It banged its head on the front door.
Oh.
Oh, it moaned. But the chimps stayed fast asleep.
They don't know what's going on.
The ghost flew up to the roof. It squeezed down the chimney and slid down into the kitchen. There on the table was a pile of banana sandwiches. Bangers had made them in case they needed a midnight snack.
Oh, well, that's what I like to do.
The greedy ghost couldn't resist banana sandwiches.
Twat.
But Bangers hadn't bothered to peel the bananas. The skins gave the ghost a very bad tummy ache. This is just one thing after another.
This ghost is breaking and entering at this point. Also, if it's
got
a ghost...
It's got tummy ache.
It's a ghost and it slips on the stairs and has to go in the house via the chimney. It's meant to go through walls and shit.
Perhaps there's some kind of reveal at the end where it's
actually
like
a big
Scooby-Doo sort of...
Big load of cum.
Oh, oh, it moaned. Not from coming, from having a tummy ache. Know. What's that? Said Bangers, waking up. Nothing, said Mash. Go back to sleep. When it felt a bit better, the ghost crept upstairs. There were Bangers and Mash lying fast asleep. Uh-oh. Oh. Paul, stop. The ghost stuck its chest out and cleared its throat. Don't do it, stop. At last it was ready to do some haunting.
Uh-oh.
The ghost decided to give Mash the first fright. It slid into his bed and settled down, but there was a hot water bottle in the bed. Oh, it moaned, leaping up. But Bangers and Mash stayed fast asleep.
It's like Home Alone with a ghost.
It is. Now, ghosts do not like hot things.
No.
They do not. It leapt out of the bed and hovered in the air. It turned round to look over its shoulder, and it could just see a big burn on its bottom.
Oh, bonk on the head, burn on the bottom, yes, belly full of badness.
He's got a green belly ache and a red bottom burn.
Red bottom burn. Yeah.
The ghost was now in a very bad temper.
Oh, dear, he's going to tear
it went to
apart.
Mrs. Snitchnose's house and said, just look at me, yo-yo. So Mrs. Snitchnose looked.
She fucking iced him.
The ghost seemed very colourful. On its head was a big purple bump. That came from falling on the step.
Yeah, we were
there. A green patch on its tummy that came from eating the banana skins.
Yeah.
Its bottom glowed red. That came from sitting on the hot water bottle.
Twat.
I give in, said the ghost. I want my beauty sleep. And it climbed...
It's basically saying, kill me.
It's raining now.
It's raining,
it's bloody
everyone.
It's really coming
it's
down.
It's coming down now.
Wow, that's proper cloudburst style.
It is, isn't it?
And it climbed straight into Mrs. Snitchnose's bed. Hang on, we're going to get some fucking action here.
What, the ghost has gotten into her bed?
Yeah.
Right.
What's it?
Is she in the bed
she
with
him? You're very colourful. She's coming onto him, isn't she?
Snicker-nose's snatch.
And as we know, if he can bang his head and eat banana skins,
he can fuck
Mrs. Snitchnose. She's a mouse.
That prick.
By the way,
screw.
Does everyone know that Mrs. Snitchnose is a mouse?
No one knows.
Look, it's a fucking mouse.
Oh, it is a mouse, yeah. That wasn't made explicit in the text.
Well, split the mouse in half of its big ghost cock.
Oh, mate.
It makes the fragrance of the fanny as she flies overhead even more fragrant. Oh, mouse quim. Oh, in the air. Oh, mouse.
I'm just going to let you do this and embarrass yourself out to exhaustion.
As if I'd be embarrassed
by
this.
You should be.
I like the whiff of oxo-like mouse quims.
All right.
All right. So, just to recap, he's about to get in bed because he wants his beauty sleep.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
Yeah, anyway. Get out of the bed.
That's my bed, said Mrs. Snitchnose. Not tonight, it isn't, answered the ghost.
Yeah.
But where am I to sleep, cried the witch, who's also a mouse, by the way.
Just remember that.
On the floor, the ghost rubbed its purple...
What?
Bruise.
Yeah.
Stroked its green tummy.
All right.
And patted its red button. Bottom.
All right, mate. Stop having...
I'm loving this. Then it stretched its fucking arsehole open.
All right, okay, now... We've gone past the point of just reading the story now.
No, it's fine. Then it stretched out in the bed, gave a snore.
Yeah.
And fell fast asleep. Mrs. Snitchnose was furious.
I bet she slept on the floor.
Back at number 3 Tree Street, if you remember, that's where our heroes sleep. I don't know, the ghost has had a lot of bloody time in this book, haven't you? They were still fast asleep. They didn't even wake up for their midnight snack. Why would you?
Just a waste of bananas.
Later that night, a strange noise did wake Bangers, but only for a moment.
Where was it?
He squeaked. Only the duck on the pond, muttered Mash. Go to sleep. Later on, another eerie noise woke Mash, but only for a second. What was it? He whispered.
This is padding now.
Only an owl
story's
hooting.
Story's over.
Oh, fucking hell. It's almost... This is the last page.
This is padding.
This is it. Only an owl hooting, murmured Bangers. Go to sleep. And he did. But Mrs. Snitchnose didn't get a wink of sleep all night. Well, it's not very nice, is it, having to sleep on the floor?
Bangers and Mash, Bangers and Mash, those chimps are imps, they're naughty lads. Bangers and Mash, Bangers and Mash.
I wouldn't say it's a classic of children's literature.
Does the job, though, doesn't it?
Not really. There's nothing happens.
Anyway, if you want to introduce Cheap Show to your kids, pull this segment out of the podcast and let them have a listen to it before bed tonight.
My favourite bit, Paul. What was your favourite moment in the story?
I think it was when he slipped into a bed and he got his cock burnt on the hot water bottle.
I liked when Mrs. Snitchnose flew overhead with her fanny all in the air.
Right.
Her dirty, minute mouse fanny. And they were pee-peeing all the time. So little flecks of, like, fucking red-hot mouse... Which
you were
piss
you were attracted by her beefy blancs, weren't you?
Beefy blancs. Minute beefy blancmange.
Mr. Snickernose's snitch, beefy blancmange.
Snitch nose.
Snatch beefy blancmange. Right, now it's on to the second book. The rain's coming down.
Well, it stopped.
Has it stopped already?
Yeah, that's why they said it was a warning of flash flooding, but the actual forecast didn't have any rain.
But the vibe has changed. It's gone from a warm, sultry day to...
No, it's still pretty sticky.
A volatile, sticky day.
It was pretty sticky all day.
Yeah, and now it's sticky and wet.
And now it's sticky in my pants after I've come in my pants.
The way you just resigned yourself to saying that was kind of tragic. All right, fine.
It's what you've done to me, man. You always go there. You always go there.
I'm going to put this to you. I'm going to say all I did was open the door for you to come free and let it all out, which was already naturally there. Because there are so many times in Cheap Joe history where, unwarranted, you just burst into a weird fucking miasma of word goo. The number of times you have put vaginas on people's heads or faces... Or many vaginas on faces. Is easily double figures.
Double figures, vagina figures. Face.
Yeah.
You could double figure.
I mean, there's lots to break down
psychologically. You could double figure someone's vagina face.
You could as well. But psychologically, there's a lot to break down there. It is time for our second book. And this one was in the same charity shop I got in Pinner. And this is something that I saw at libraries when I was a kid, but never got for myself. I don't know if you knew what these were, but this is an Osborne Puzzle Adventure, The Haunted Tower.
I never saw these, although I had the Osborne compendium of supernatural ones. It had ghosts, it had like unexplained or something, you know? I had the ghost one, was one of my favourite books as a kid, and it used to terrify me, especially the photos. They had a page of photos.
Like of the monk on the staircase.
The one that I can see it right now in my mind's eye.
The ghost in the back of the taxi.
That one. That is scary, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely like pareidolia. But when you look at it, it does look like someone with glowing eyes sat in the back seat of a taxi.
Yes.
Have I got that somewhere? Found it.
The ghost, that's the one I had.
Now this one.
The classic.
Is a reprint.
Yes.
It was re-released a few years ago to
because
celebrate.
It was like a big crowdfunded thing, wasn't it?
So back in the day, Osborne were known for kind of like science and education books for kids with lots of drawings and, you know, it was all about science. Well, then it went into UFOs and then ghosts. It was kind of a bit of everything.
They had like three of these.
Yeah.
World of the Unknown. That's the series.
Yeah.
And this is The Ghosts, which must have been their bestseller.
I mean, that's the one.
Must have been.
That's
everyone
the one they brought back.
This.
That's why they brought this one back.
This is so... Everything about this just gives me a huge nostalgia thing. The way... I love these illustrations.
Yeah.
They're very vivid. They're very...
Well, they're going
who
back
is this artist? Was it one guy who did all of these paintings?
I can't remember now, but it's probably a few different artists, to be fair.
They're
I
so
might be
brilliant.
Wrong on
the
that.
Illustrations are, I would say, just world-class. I love... I'm just flicking through it now.
Yeah.
This is one of the most familiar things of all time to me.
Well, this is the thing. To me, this is Morton Library. I would go there and get the ghost books out and stuff like that. And this was the one I would always get out every other month.
The Haunted House.
That's the Haunted House,
like,
yeah.
This is what informed... This is like, because it's before I was allowed to watch horror films.
Yeah.
Or seen a lot of horror films. I was obsessed.
Yeah.
I was obsessed as a young teenager, like 11, 12, with that kind of thing.
Oh, lightning. You see the lightning there?
Here comes the thunder.
That's what I say to...
Your girlfriend.
Miss Snicklenose, whatever her name
snatch,
is.
Snitch nose.
Snatch nose.
Yeah, her snatch is...
snatch nose.
There you go. It's a few miles off. It's been moving around.
Yeah, moving around.
I love this haunted house. It has all the things you can see in the haunted house.
But
anyway, that's not what we're here to discuss,
No,
though.
It's not. But I think an offshoot of these books were these Osborne puzzle adventures where you kind of got a story and then at the same time you got a mystery. So every single page had a puzzle for you to solve before you could move on to the next part of the story.
Wow. I never saw those. Do you remember them from the time?
No, okay. Not at all. I mean, they may have been in the library. But this is the thing I would have not engaged with because I wanted to rent out the ghost book again.
Yeah.
Or one of those Hans Zoltzer books, whatever it is he's got up there. Anyway, that guy. So I've just looked up, again, Wikipedia, apologies. The Puzzle Adventure book series from Osborne was first created in 1984 with the release of Escape from Blood Castle.
Again, past my time, really.
Yeah.
Hang on. I'd be 9, so not past my time.
Who would have been in your...
Totally in my wheelhouse, but I never saw them. I don't remember seeing them. They're not as good as the ghost one, are they?
Well, they're a different market altogether. The first three volumes of the series were originally released as Usborne Solve It Yourself. Each book contained a vivid illustrated story with a plot-related puzzle to solve on each double page. The series' success inspired the creation of three related series: Advanced Puzzle Adventures, Young Puzzle Adventures, and Science Puzzle Adventures.
Science Puzzle Adventures.
And then, yeah, and I've got what the one I've got here is the 11th in the series by Susanna Lay, drawn by Brenda Haar, 1989. It's called The Haunted Tower.
Yeah.
And I had a quick spin through this before, and it is. It's like a soft entry-level choose-your-own-adventure book.
That's what I was going to say.
Except, rather than you choosing the path of the story, it's more like each page is part of the story that you need to solve to read on.
Yeah.
Right?
You don't have to.
You don't have to. It's got all the answers and clues.
You didn't have to do that
in
and choose your own adventures either, did you?
No. This one, what I like about this book is two little affectations which make it unique. Obviously, it was a charity shop, fine. So it was once owned by a child called Paul Halligan. And on the back, he's put a Bart Simpson sticker that says, "Coming at ya, man." So this might have been from like 1990, 91, this sticker.
Oh, I like it when there's stuff on it.
You know, and it's old Simpsons drawing, where it's a little bit kind of unsettling, you know?
Wow, that is ancient. This has been so well preserved.
It must have been in a box, you know what I mean, with other books on either side of it, keeping it flat, because it's in very good condition.
Yes.
And I thought, on the back, oh, here's what it says on the back.
Usborne, actually, because we were talking about children's book publishers of that era.
Yeah.
Another one, aren't they?
Of what?
Like Ladybird, yeah. Like Penguin, Puffin.
Let me just quickly read what Wikipedia says. Sorry to be one of those podcasts, but here we go. Often called Usborne Books, it's a British publisher of children's books. So specifically, yeah, children. Peter Usborne in 1973 began his publishing company with in-house teams of writers, editors and designers. One of its sales channels is The Books at Home, a multi-level marketing operation founded in 1981.
Wow.
And then they got sold in America through HarperCollins.
Okay.
And then it just kind of said what the books were they did. So it's kind of not particularly auspicious start. But
that multi-level marketing sounds a bit like a pyramid scheme. Huh?
A little bit, yeah. But
at least there's books rather than like, I don't
promises.
Know. Promises. Goji berry products.
So I thought we'd have a crack at the first puzzle in this to see if you can solve it. Now, I read this and I had a go of it myself and I 90% got it right. I was just wrong on one little fact, which would have been... Like, I thought, I got the answer right, but my method was a little bit wrong.
Okay, do I need a pen and paper for this?
No, I think you can...
Okay, I'll do it in my head then.
But I'll read the first chapter out.
All right then.
All right then, I'm going to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Haunted Tower by Usborne Puzzle Adventures.
No, it's by...
Usborne Puzzle Adventures.
No,
yeah,
it's by the woman's name at the bottom.
By Susanna Lee, by Usborne Puzzle Adventures.
Fuck's sake.
The Haunted Tower is a ghostly tale of mystery and suspense which takes Charlie, Nick and Ali to Spectre's Isle and a ghostly tower. Here, their search for a legendary ghost leads them into a perilous plot and a quest for phantom treasure. Let us begin! About this book, The Haunted Tower is a spooky adventure story with a difference. The difference is that you can take part in the adventure. You, Eli, in this case.
I don't want to. I just want to listen to the story.
No, you're going to have to get involved. Don't be passive.
I don't want to.
These books are about being engaging and using your brain and
could
learning.
Can I take part by... I know this is going to sound funny, yeah?
Yeah. Right? This is going to involve your dick.
No, my poo. Put poo in the book. Poo in the book.
Poo in the book. I'd rather have your dick in a book, honestly.
Poo then dick.
I will settle for dick and then we could talk about poo if the mood's right.
I like talking about poo.
Right. Throughout the book, there are lots of ghostly puzzles and perplexing problems that you must solve in order to...
Perplexing problems, but then he fucked
up
I fucked up
the normal bit. In order to solve the next part of the story. Look at the pictures carefully and watch out for vital clues. Sometimes you'll need to flick back through the book to help you find an answer.
Flick back, flick, flick.
Sometimes you'll need to flick back through the book to help you find an answer. There are clues on page 43 and you can check your answers on 44 to 48. Let's begin. Nick and Ali were visiting their cousin Charlie at the seaside town of Port Snorum for the first time. And there's a little picture there of Charlie and Ali and
Let's
Nick,
see.
And they're all meeting in the nice little port town. Right. Snorum Seafront. Now, you pay attention. Charlie, Nick and Ali were busy slurping ice creams on the first afternoon of their holiday in Port Snorum. Ali pointed at a dark, wooden island on which stood a tall, mysterious tower. Wooded island, not wooden island. She wondered what it was called.
It's called Wooden Island.
The at Spectre's Isle, said Charlie. They say the tower's haunted by a ghostly pirate called Captain Swashbuckle. He built the tower hundreds of years ago, and there he planned his daring sea voyages. Then, one night, his ship hit a reef on the island and it sank without trace. The legend says an incredible hoard of treasure was lost with Swashbuckle and his crew, but it was never found.
Yeah.
Now Swashbuckle's ghost is said to haunt the tower.
Yeah.
Nick peered through the beach telescope for a closer look and gasped in amazement. He could scarcely believe his eyes. Could the legend be true? And then there's an image there of the what he's seeing through the telescope, and there's a figure in the tower. Oh, there is someone in the tower.
Oh.
Here's your first puzzle.
All right.
The way to Scepter's Isle. Was the tower haunted? Nick and Ali could hardly wait to investigate, but they had to find a way to Spectre's Isle. No one ever goes there, Charlie said nervously. Besides, it's impossible. Ali asked some of the locals and was told there was a causeway across to the island, but it was usually flooded. The rest of the information was very puzzling, but when Charlie checked the tides and Nick looked at her diary, they realised they could reach the island at a certain time of day. Your challenge now is to look at the information on this page and find the way across the causeway. Now, they speak to one lady and she says this. Oh, of course. Only at low tide can you reach the haunted isle. A gentleman reading a newspaper says, only cross when the moon is at its roundest. And then a third person says, you can't be wanting to go to the haunted isle. 'Tis a bad place. The home of evil ghosts and ghouls. Why? The last person who ever ventured there was never seen again.
That's the guy did it. That's the you take the mask off that guy. That's
well,
the
we
guy.
Don't know. Yeah, just solve this puzzle. That's all you need to do, right? So I'm going to hand you the book, and you tell me what you see. You've got to figure out how they get across the causeway.
Now we've got Great Snorum tide times on the left, Paul, for neighbouring towns plus or minus minutes as shown. So you've got Great Grungeby.
Yeah.
Good for a night out.
Good night out place, that.
Yeah, because you get your fucking get your fingers in. Fucking cock wanked off into some bird's
all
mouth.
Right, come on. Fuck me. Horrible.
Sorry. No. Oh, I'm horrible. I'm gross.
Yeah. Go on.
Oh, and you've got that's plus 49 minutes to the tides. And then you got Slime Bag Bay.
Well, come on, this is just
good for a night out.
Yeah, of course.
Because you get slimy, all slimy quims up your nose.
Slime Bag Bay.
That was like Trackbot's voice you did there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Port Snorum, minus 12. Oh, that's Port Snorum. Where are we? We're at Great
Snorum. You're in Port Snorum. You're in.
Why is it Great Snorum? No, we're in Great Snorum.
Well, then it's called Great Snorum then. Yeah, fair enough.
Fucking hell.
Well, you
mate.
Said it wrong. I was just saying.
No,
what
this Port Snorum is on this.
Yes.
And Great Snorum. They're two different places. Get it?
All right. Well, then, yeah. Figure out which one it is then.
Fuck's sake, mate.
You specky
trying
prick.
Trying to fuck you.
Come on.
Bilge Waters as well is another place. Yeah, it's good for an eye out.
They're all complaints, my mad ass.
Okay, and then there's these three people. And then there's also one of our characters has
a little diary.
A little diary. June, Monday 7th is Ali. Monday 7th of June.
Yeah.
17th of June. Oh, and it's got a little moon by it.
Yeah.
The thing of the moon.
Yeah.
Monday 17th, half moon, is Ali's birthday.
Yeah.
Tuesday 18th, sports day. Yeah. Egg plus spoon race.
Yeah.
Remember egg.
Always remember egg.
What about remembering spoon? What about fucking remembering spoon?
True. Maybe they always end up bringing spoons.
How are you
going to
do it if you haven't
eggs?
Got spoons and eggs? Maybe fucking inconsistencies. Is that the clue?
They've already packed the spoons. That's why they're only worried about the eggs.
You know, if you're worried about not having a hand free in terms of egg and spoon, you can always pop the egg right off your ass. It's a good way to carry it.
Can you try and figure this out? Because I'm not just convinced. I'm not convinced you can solve this kid's book puzzle.
It's a good way to carry an egg.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. At least you've... It's a good way to carry an egg. If you haven't got hands free...
I'm going to ask you now, quite sternly, to fucking shut up and solve the book.
All right. Fucking hell.
So read the diary.
I am. Wednesday 19th. I owe John 3 gobstoppers. I bet you do.
That sounds like something else, doesn't it?
I bet you do. Sorry.
Stop it. I didn't know this book was going to trigger every single filthy thought in your head.
Thursday 20th.
This is like watching a man have a breakdown.
Tiggy to vet. Tiggy. Tiggy must be their cat or something.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Friday 21st, full moon.
Right, yeah.
Ah!
Yeah.
Only at low tide can you reach the Haunted. Only cross when the moon is at its roundest. That is full moon.
Okay.
So, Snorum holiday begins. Meet Charlie 4 p.m. Well, that's what they're doing. That's them now. Oh, and coming up, Saturday 22nd, Mum's birthday. Sunday the 23rd is the day that they're going to buy a kite for some reason.
What happened on the 21st?
Snorum holiday begins. Meet Charlie 4 p.m.
Okay, what happened on the 22nd?
Mum's birthday.
Okay, all right, fine. Okay, go on.
What are you talking about?
I thought you'd skip one. That was the one. I was trying to get a clarification for the audience.
One.
Fine, go on. Don't look at me disdainfully when you've just been fucking having multiple mental breakdowns.
I'm not having a mental breakdown,
it looks
Paul.
Like
my
it.
Mind is fine.
It looks like you're even going to start crying or start hysterically laughing.
French homework for... Do you know what their French teacher's called? You do, because you read it before.
Ms. Tickler.
No.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Monsieur Garlic.
Oh, great stuff. Wow.
Monsieur, a bit racist, huh? Katie Crayfish, Cozy Coffee Corner. Ah.
Yes.
Yes.
When can they cross then? What time of day can they cross?
Now, someone's reading the newspaper. Another clue here.
It's not. I'll save you time. It's not. The paper has nothing to do with it.
That is the 21st. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. It's another.
Signify that it's the day is the 21st.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Now, I have to. They want to be crossing today.
Yeah, because there's a little.
At low tide, because it is the full moon today.
It is today, yeah.
So, cross when the moon is at its roundest, which is today.
Yeah.
Only low tide. So, low tide in... Where are they?
It tells you on the page before where they actually meet, if that helps and gives you clarification.
Are they at Great Snorum?
It tells you near the bottom of that first page.
Right, they're at Port Snorum.
So, what does that mean?
Minus 12 minutes, as shown. So, low tide on the 21st is 12:04, right? Minus for Port Snorum 12 minutes, which would make it 11:52.
Wrong.
No.
It's
Hang on,
wrong.
That's not what I'm doing.
All right, go on. So think about it. They've arrived at 4 o'clock on the 21st, so they've already missed low tide, right? Because that was 12 o'clock in the afternoon.
Tomorrow, yeah.
So you need to look at tomorrow's date.
The first one, they can go at... Midnight.
Because it's...
00:12.
And you have to take 12 minutes away.
Yes.
Because
it's
port.
Midnight, so I've got
so
it right.
So you are correct. It is midnight. There you go. Eli...
Which is very like ghostly.
Yeah,
so
yeah. So that's... But every puzzle's
no,
different.
No, I did the exact same mistake as you.
Yeah. Paul. You just forgot that they'd missed... They
no,
met
I
up
should...
After.
I was thinking, but they're there at 4 p.m. But then I forgot
yeah.
when I was doing it. It got me.
The next page is like a maze. You draw a line across the rocks to get to the castle. This one's got a weird little puzzle where you've got to decode a letter to find out what the ghost says. So every page is a different kind of... Like, put the road sign together... Find out
it's
stuff.
Quite cool and quite well illustrated and made.
Yeah.
And it makes me sad because no children
stuff.
Don't get puzzle books anymore or any kind of book,
I
do
mean,
they?
These,
it's just
these kind of things.
It's Roblox.
These kind of games have moved online, really. You could argue games like, you know, Professor Layton on the DS is like this.
Yes. Yeah.
In fact, that's exactly what this is.
Word games,
yeah.
little things.
And that was for all kids and
clues.
Families
yeah.
and things.
Yeah.
So you see what I'm saying? It's now become more video game. But the charm of the book.
I'm saying... That there was a whole industry of stuff that was distractions for kids. It's all become just...
It's just moved elsewhere. That's
yes.
all it is.
Mm.
That's all
I
it
think
has
the
done.
Culture's worse these days.
Oh, shut up. It's different. Stop being an old prick cunt and ugly. Stop being ugly.
See, you couldn't...
Anyway, which one of the... Right,
that was good,
the
wasn't it? That bit was good.
It's not about me thinking it was good. I'm just expressing my truth. Right.
Expressing your truth?
Yeah. My truth is I loathe the sight of you.
That's your truth, is it?
Bangers good. And mash.
Oh, fucking good.
Ghost Post, out of five, Eli, how many pages are you turning over?
Four.
Four pages turning over for that. And Haunted Tower, how many pages are you turning over for that?
4.5.
Yeah, I would go with 3 for Bangers and Mash, and then 4.
I like
solid
that Haunted.
Four.
I like those Usborne things.
Yeah, lovely fun. What, why have you gone slack-jawed?
It's just so
hot,
sticky.
Isn't it? Should we have a little break then? Let's take a little break then. Would you
Please.
Like a little break then? You've exerted yourself because you kept on doing rude words
and
fanny gun stuff.
I wasn't doing any
Mate,
of that.
Do you want to go through the book again when you read out the town titles and lost your fucking mind? Shall we? Shall I just say Slime Bag Bay?
It's good for a night out there.
Great Grungeby.
Oh, fucking, I've got a case of the herpes.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I met this girl the other day. They called her the Great Grungeby.
Why do they?
4 men at a time.
Oh.
Loads enough to shirt. Like a trough. A fuck trough. God, I'm sorry. That's uncalled for.
That is uncalled
for. I'm so
for.
Sorry. Award-winning podcast, Jeep Show.
Is it? Is it down the street? Who's around the corner? Is it Gary Goldgaffer? Who? What? It's Gary Goldgaffer. What? It's Gary Goldgaffer. What? It's again his Golden Games. Again his Golden Games. Trivia. Trivia.
It's Gannon's Golden Lobes. It's Gannon's Golden Lobes Award. Gannon's Golden Lobes Award. It's Gannon's Golden Lobes Award.
I think
award.
The audience's award. They're the growers, not the showers.
We show and grow. We're a part of the growing process. Anyway, award time, Paul Gannon. The award-winning Cheap Show podcast is now happy to deliver the Gannon's Golden Games segment of the show, where I pull out a game that I consider golden from the past in some respect, and we have a little bit of a play of it.
Hence, Gannon's Golden Games. It's Gannon's Golden Games. A hero, a dario. It's Gannon's Golden Games.
Flangela plop plops.
Flangela plop plops. Flangela plop plop.
Flangela plop plops.
A flangela plop plop. I got my flingy flange and it's dripping down the stairs and it's going round the corner and it's saying hello there. It's a big flangy mange and it's dripping all around and I smell the fish in the air. Oh, it's like a pond. The pond...
That's enough now. That is literally enough now.
The flangy man, he came in. The flingy man, he came in. He's going up the flingy man, he
going up. He's just gone full Swedish chef, everyone. I don't know what to do about it.
Oh, the flangy man, he came in, the flangy man, he came in.
This is the polite request for me to ask you to stop doing that. The second request.
Oh, what will it be? What will it be? Ooh, oh no, Paul's going to discipline me.
Gotta fucking find out.
What's he gonna do? He's he's got the water. No, don't drip, drop. No, don't get the. Don't.
Do you wanna behave, or do you wanna get a wet?
Let's go sit down. I'm ready to play. Okay.
Fucking turn me on thin water, mate.
Oh, the flangy man, though. You know what I do wish, though, Paul? No, honestly, just to be serious for a second. Do you know what I do wish?
What?
Some witch that's a mouse would fly overhead with an unwashed quim. Don't play the noodle oodle man. Horse's head. Can you stop? Please, can we play that? Yes, this isn't good. This, at least I was doing something. This is just listening to some old ad that we've had on the show before. Why are you playing this? ABC. Here's a rocket. And number three. A key, a cup, and a bell, a man, a wheel, and a tank as well.
I will fucking kill you.
What do you mean you will fucking kill me? Oh, I was just saying about Mouse's fanny flying overhead, which is Mouse's fanny.
I played
it's affected
that.
Me.
I played that music.
Oh, you played it?
To center you.
To center me?
To center you.
I'm centered.
You're not, though.
I've got a heart of hearts. I'm centered,
you're
mate.
Not centered.
We'll see.
We've already heard. You've gone off your fucking rocker. Dial it in. This is a segment of the show I treat very seriously, like you would treat your sauces or your noodles, right? This is, to me, as valuable as a noodle.
That's why I did the theme tune for you.
Yeah, and then you went all on Fanity Grunge Time, didn't you?
Don't start that on Fanity Grunge Time
stuff.
Do
you know what I mean? With you, it's just like whatever triggers your fucking feverish fucking rat brain.
Rats like a mouse, like Snitch Mrs. Snitchnose.
Right. There's thunder in the air, it's a sweaty room, and you're bringing this to unnecessary lengths.
Oh, that's playing. What she fucking told me.
Right, we are playing.
That's an unnecessary length.
Mate,
we're
no
playing.
One, mate, jokes apart, no one's ever said that to you. And no one ever will.
I haven't had anything.
And I need you to come to terms with that. Right, we are... Oh, I've lost my fucking thing now, you bastard. I had a window open. We are playing today a game by Peter Pan Toys, and it is an electronic version of the TV show Name That Tune.
Name That Tune, everybody!
Now, a while ago, I got a vinyl record, which I can't find right now, but it was basically Name That Tune on a vinyl. And it came with a board game, apparently, originally, and a book of all the little tracks.
Yeah.
And it was based on the original version of whatever Name That Tune became.
Can I ask something?
Yeah.
Did it have one of those special grooves, like multi-grooves, so it depended what part of the record you started it on?
I don't think so. I think it was like, play it and then look at the book that
but
came
with
it. But
you had to stop it, or it gives you a certain amount of time, a gap on the record where you say
a
what
woman
it,
says
it
a
is.
Number. She goes, A24.
Oh, that's right. And then it plays a few like notes.
Like a full orchestra going, doodle it.
Yeah.
Doodle it. You go, oh, what is it? Anyway, Name that tune, British TV show, two contestants testing their knowledge of songs. It originally began in the United States on NBC Radio in 1952. It was first shown as an ITV show in 1976, hosted by Tom O'Connor. And he was the first presenter for a few years until Lionel Blair took over in 1984.
I seem to remember, does it have a celebrity panel?
No.
No?
No, it was contestants guessing songs.
Oh, so just that basic format, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they won cash prizes. That was literally it.
They won cash prizes.
Now, this game represents the first generation of Name That Tune, because on the box, it has Tom O'Connor
on
the box.
Tom O'Connor.
Tom O'Connor's Name That Tune, in fact, it says.
Now, Tom O'Connor was a...
Scouse stand-up comedian.
And he was around when Des O'Connor was around, and like a lesser Des.
The thing is, this was the era where if you were a jobbing comic, you probably got a game show at some point offered to you if you had some kind of notoriety.
He looks pretty young in the photo on the box.
I think... Tom O'Connor was a teacher first, or a headmaster of the school, and then became a stand-up.
Right.
I think Jim Bone was the same. I might be wrong. Let me just have a quick look for Tom O'Connor. British comedian, TV presenter. He hosted Crosswits, Name That Tune, Password, Gambit, and the Zodiac Game. Born in St. Mary's College, Crosby, up by Liverpool.
Right.
Was, assistant headmaster. And then he began work appearing as comedian in working men's clubs.
Okay.
And then, was Opportunity Knocks, blah, blah, blah. You know, the usual
kind of... Which one, Opportunity Knocks?
You know what I mean? It was the kind of standard entry into light entertainment in the 80s.
That's how you did it.
Work the working men's clubs or comedy gigs and end of peer shows and all this kind of stuff. Then you might get an Opportunity Knocks or New Faces. Maybe you'll get on, like, Bob Monkhouse, who's quite famous for picking up stand-ups he liked and giving them a spot on his shows and things.
Yeah.
And then you got a game show. So, the British version began in 1956. Marion Ryan was the singer in a popular musical quiz, Spot the Tune. That is the record I've got.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
And Marion Ryan is the woman on the record introducing every clip.
Decades earlier than this, the
1956,
game show.
It was on Granada TV for 7 years. Blah, blah, blah about that. It was later revised as Name That Tune for ITV. The UK pilot was recorded in 1976 and became a 15-minute slot on the popular entertainment series Wednesday at 8 and then London Night Out. And then it became so popular that Thames Television just went ahead and turned it into a proper show.
Right.
Into a half-hour weekly series in 1983. That had a full band as well. They wouldn't play clips. They would have a full band play the notes, because that was the format. You had to guess a song in as fewer notes as possible to win.
And it's not like, for example, an equivalent sort of game you'd have these days was that musical Wordle.
Yeah.
Where they actually play a track there, don't they? A little tiny fraction of a track.
It was revived in 1997 briefly on Channel 5 with Jules Holland. And then it has the rules here, but this version of the game that we're playing is very, very basic. There is none of the gold medley, big prize tune, bidder note. There's none of that. It is literally just the, I think I can guess it in three notes. Here's three notes. Oh, quick guess.
Okay, let's go.
So this is the electronic board game version of it. And I just want to say, before we get into it, visually, I fucking love this.
Great.
Thing.
A lovely build quality, for want of a better word.
If you're
familiar... a beige background, which is ribbed.
Yeah.
And then you've got lovely chunky buttons.
Big round chunky buttons. And they light up.
And with primary colours, you've got green, you've got all the primaries there, blue, yellow.
If you are familiar with the way Fisher-Price made their toys, that's a good way of visualising what we've
How's
got here.
How's that look, yeah.
It's a great big white box with lovely big round buttons on
chunky.
The top. Chunky. You could kill a dog with it easily a couple of hits. Maybe just one if you get the angle in the corner.
Well, if you held the dog down so its throat was exposed, you just bring it right down.
Maybe by the neck, just under the skull.
Yeah, you'd probably be able to do it.
Definitely a cat. Like that with a cat.
Award-winning
check
podcast.
Check that box again. Check that box again. Does it
again, again.
Is this Peter Pan toys, right?
Yep.
So
playthings. Peter Pan playthings.
Oh, okay.
I wonder why they call it playthings on that.
Well, I only asked because I wonder what Castle is. There's a logo that says Castle
that's
on
funny.
The corner.
Perhaps that's the electronics firm or the manufacturer. How bizarre.
Comes with a book. Songbook and instructions.
See if there's anything in there about Castle.
I'm just trying to look. Maybe it's at the back.
There's something on the bottom.
No, it just says Peter Pan playthings. I don't know what Castle represents in this case.
Well, it's very strange.
What I do like about it is it even has like a proper care page where it shows you how to open it up and fix wires or replace the bulbs
it really
in it.
It does,
stuff.
Yeah. That's...
Which, you wouldn't get on a lot of games these days.
Or even
it's
on
microchips.
An electronic device these days, you wouldn't get that.
Right. And then you can program your own songs into it. It gives you a little score sheet and stuff, and you can use the buttons as notes, which is fun. But
it's
we're going to play the game.
It's a little very basic sort of Raspberry Pi style computer chip, isn't it, basically, in there?
Anyway, we're going to play the game. So let's play Name That Tune.
Ladies and gentlemen, Name That Tune. £1,000 in cash, a star prize, and superb four-band radio, including double cassette stereo tape recorder to give you hours of greater music enjoyment. And the chance to win this. Yes, our big prize of this week's Name That Tune. And the names are Name That Tune tonight. Maggie Boone. Sheba. Conducted by Alan Braden. Now let's meet tonight's two contestants, Irene Pryor from Glasgow, a school meal supervisor. Irene is married and has two children. And from Guildford, Surrey, Arthur Berry, an accounts representative. Now meet your host and compere for this evening, ladies and gentlemen, Tom O'Connor.
Right, I'm Tom O'Connor, and we're going to play Name That Tune, and our first contestant today, mate, he puts his thumb in his pocket, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
He's put his foot in his waistcoat pocket, and hello, dear mates, what's your name?
I'm Eli Silverman.
And do you like music? Do you think you're a bit of a music knob?
I'm a real music guy, yeah. I love music.
All right, that's good. That now you've got to introduce me as a Scouse, Tom O'Connor.
Eco fucking hell, mate. What's the fucking going on here? I'm fucking Tom O'Connor. Fuck this. I'm fucking good.
Is that the best you could possibly fathom to try and be Tom Connor?
It fucks you, man. I fucking tell you what.
You just sound like a pissed Scouse tramp, is what it comes down to.
I fucking tell you what, man.
Closing your eyes again so like you can't concentrate.
No, I'm closing my eyes because it's so bad.
I'm going to move on. I can't wait this out.
What's your name? What's your fucking name?
My name's Paul Gannon, and I like music
Welcome
and notes
to
as well.
Name that fucking shit.
Right.
What? What?
The object
what?
Of this
What's
game.
What's you say to me? What's you say to me?
It is a hot day.
I'm doing the thing in my form.
You've got to put it like hang it down a bit more.
Yeah, what's your fucking say to me? Don't tell me, put me form, mate.
Like, rest it down there, you limp it.
You want to play the fucking game, you what, mate?
I'm fucking Tom O'Connor now.
Oh, yeah, fuck off. Fuck.
I'm Tom O'Connor.
You come out here, fuck you up, man.
Right, okay. Anyway.
Yeah, you come round here, I fuck you up.
To begin the game.
Let me tell you.
To begin the game.
What we have to do.
This is so impossible fucking hard. And it must be so annoying to listen to as well.
The poor listeners. This is what they come here for, Paul. The madness.
The madness of
King Eli.
Yeah, syphilitic ridden Eli.
Oh.
With his fucking ski resort ball sack. Right.
Nice. I've got a
case of the ski resort going on down here. Right, how to play. Object of the game is to win the most amount of money by correctly identifying the mystery tunes. Note, Name That Tune has an automatic shut-off feature. If no buttons are pressed for over a minute, Name That Tune turns itself off.
That's good.
To prepare, the money should be divided up as follows. Each player begins with £60 playing money. 5 £1 notes, 5 £5 notes, 3 £10 notes.
Got it here, and they have their own currency. They don't use that basic money.
Yeah, so quickly going for the rules, turn the game on by pressing the start button. A value from £1 to £9 will appear in the LED display for the mystery song, which has been chosen from the computer memory. And you know what? Another thing I love about this, the red LED light is right.
Beautiful.
It's one of my favourite things.
When they use separate bits and they can do it to make all the, you know?
That's basically a digital readout.
It's a digital readout, but there's lots of different ways they can do that.
Playing, you press the thing and a number comes up there. Whatever that number is what we bet from our cash handout. Yeah. So if it says £1, we both put £1 in.
I've got the money here.
Got it.
That's pretty straightforward.
Then we talk out the bidding. We don't hear the song first. We have up to ten notes.
I can say I'll do it in three. You say I'll do it in two. And I go, I'll do it in one. And then you go, well... Okay,
or I
then.
Can say, all right, well, you do it in two then. You know what I mean? It's like, I can stop.
No, that's not the way it works, Paul.
Yeah, I can say I don't
Whoever has
anymore.
The lowest bid gets to do it. Right?
Yes, I know.
Gets to give it a go. Okay.
But what I'm saying is, if you go, I'm going to do it in two, I can just say, I let you do it in two.
Oh, you can let me. Yes. Yes, you're right.
Right.
You can back out of this.
Thank you.
Point.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, you've got that across to me now.
Then, let's just say you say three notes. You press the button three.
I see the blue chunky buttons. Yeah. Why?
So you can see it, so it's all upside down.
Now I haven't got my button near me.
It doesn't matter. Each button works.
I'll get the red button then.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've got the yellow big button. But you press three and then it will play three notes. And then there'll be a timer. And you have to guess it and then press the play button that will play the whole song.
Okay.
So let's just say you think it's Jingle Bells, right? You'll say Jingle Bells, press the button. Then it will play the rest of the song. And if I think you're wrong, I can challenge by pressing the big button nearest me.
Okay.
And then I have the same process, 5 seconds to guess it.
Fine, I'm ready to go.
Within 5 seconds, the challenger must offer his guest to the correct song and press the play button. If he is correct, he wins the jackpot. Any other player that hasn't challenged can do so if they're wrong. They win the jackpot. If you lose, you forfeit equal to the value of the tune displayed on the LED. So I think it says it will say three minus three. So whoever loses will lose £3 of their own money. So even though you've bet whatever, you have to give an extra three as a forfeit for losing.
Okay.
Right? And then it says to win is the person with the most money after a number of rounds.
How many rounds are you doing?
We can play as many as we want or until we run out of money.
Okay.
Okay, let's play. I'm going to press the start button, which will turn the machine on.
We're six. On. That's what we have to put down. Put right, down
I'm
six.
Put down six. Five.
Put it in the kitty
and
here.
And then the kitty's there. Right.
12 there.
Now, I think I could get this in maybe seven.
I can do it in three.
Right, I'm going to let you do it in three then.
Okay.
Okay, so you now have to... So I press three for you?
Yeah, fine.
I'll press three and it'll play three notes and then a timer, all right? Here we go.
Oh, wish...
Time's out.
What happens now?
I don't know. I think that's it. I think you've just lost. No, you have to give £6. You have to give an extra
I
six.
Have.
No, and
not
an extra six for losing.
What do you mean an extra six?
Because it says six, and that'll be in the final.
No, that's the pot there, you twat.
Yeah, but then that means we've both lost. That means
no,
I've lost for
no you
reason.
Win that money, you idiot.
Right, I'm having this.
Fuck's sake. Yeah, you're having that money because I lost.
Yeah, but fuck's you're right. It's meant to give a minus figure number there.
No, it's not. Reset
now
it.
Now it's minus.
It that's it.
Minus
that's
nothing.
The time's run out. That's why.
All right, I'll do the next one then.
Eight.
Eight. All right, I'll put eight in. Go on. How much do you want to bet? You start first then.
Four notes.
I'll do it in three.
Okay. I'll let you see you do it in three.
I'm going to do it in three. Here we go. If you can challenge if you want. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I don't understand.
That's it. It's meant to play out. Look at the rules again.
Oh, Swanee River?
Oh, I didn't know that one. You didn't get it, though, so I win all the money.
Yeah, you win all the money. Shit.
Harder than it sounds, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know that tune.
The songs are all like those old standardy ones.
I only know Jingle Bells.
All right, okay. We're going to start again. Next one. Five. Right, he's going to put all his ones down there, so that's 10 in the pot. Right, okay.
What do you
think? First. Five.
I could do it in four. Go on.
I'm going to go three.
All right, name it in three.
I want to win. Name it in three. All right, I'm pressing three. Oh, my darling Clementine.
No.
No, well, no. It wasn't that then.
Okay, well, I win.
You win it then.
You're shit at this.
What was that though? Give me open your heart, I pray.
Yeah.
Give me
what's that
oh, Joanna?
Oh, Joanna.
Oh, Susanna.
Oh, Susanna.
Oh, Susanna. The day of dancing. It was a child's hymn at school, wasn't it?
Yes, they all are, aren't
give
they?
Give me joy in my heart. Keep me working. Give me joy in my heart. Break. Come on, darling. I'm in
Fidgy Flange comes over around the corner. They've got a drippy flange and they squeeze out their knickers.
Award winning podcast. Let's do one more. Let's do one more.
This is a bit of a failure, isn't it?
Start. Two.
Can I guess it, please?
Go on, if you want.
I'll do it in four. I'll do it in four.
I tell you what, I'll let you do it in four.
There's only four in the...
All right, ready? So you got to say it and then press the button. Ready? Four.
Do, 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 do.
What's it called?
Do, 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 do,
do. Do you know?
What is that called?
I'm going to go... Oh.
Right, now press play.
I think it was the Blue Danube. Oh no!
No,
cheese. I lost my poor meatball down the leg
what's
of my car. I don't know. I saw her in the God, there's one called Battle Hymn for the Republic. What
yes,
the
that's
that?
No, that's extremely famous.
Is it?
Yeah. Is it that one that we just heard?
I don't know.
My Beautiful Dreamer, it's called. Beautiful Dreamer, yeah.
That's not on here now. First one to get it wins. How about that?
Fine.
Right, next one, start.
And what are you going to do?
Eight. How many do you want to bet it in?
Five.
Tell you what, for a bit of fun, I'll let you guess five then.
Okay,
ready?
Press it.
Five notes. I know it.
What is it then?
I don't think I can buzz it.
What is it then?
Pop Goes the Weasel. I think it's that.
Oh, you can't.
Hey,
you got it.
That's the way that the many go. Pop Goes the Weasel.
Well done.
All these songs that were just like nursery rhymes or...
Let's have another one.
All right.
Do it in four.
All right, let's do it in four. Ah, oh, fuck off, Jingle Bells, my arse.
I'm sick of this now. Right, I would like to go home.
I'm going to do one more. Here we go. I'm going to put 10 in and see if you can guess it in 10. All right? What's that? Come on, you got to know that one.
Auld Lang Syne.
Yeah, and that means I'm just going to stop. I'm going to put that down. Well, since my co-host has fucked off and on his phone, I'm just going to stop the podcast.
I'm looking up Hurdle.
No, it doesn't matter now. I'm just going to...
Hurdle here, look.
What do you mean Hurdle?
It's a proper version of what we were trying to do.
What Hurdle? What are you talking about?
It's where you listen to a little bit of a...
We've done it on the podcast before, though. So don't worry about it. We've made
also,
the point.
Look, it's doing that Zoom thing.
Old man Eli's phone. Eli's got an old man phone and he wears glasses and he can't get it up. Well...
Oh, shut
it's
up.
It's the Midlife Crisis podcast that you deserve.
I can actually get it up, everyone.
Can you?
Yes.
You seem to talk a big game, mate, but I never see you practice.
Because
We
are not sexually involved with each other, Paul, and that would be deeply unprofessional and problematic for me to do.
Do you think if we did consummate it, it'd be like moonlighting in that it'd lose all the chemistry and charm and the will they, won't they?
It'd ruin it for me, Paul, put it that way.
Well, we can only hope that we never transgress that sacred bond we have between us and we remain friendly but never intimate.
Do you know what could do it? Push us over the edge into full doing it.
Massive amounts of LSD and drugs.
Meth. Meth's the one.
Well, episode 450 is coming. If you want the meth special to
no,
be what
that
we
really
do
really is. Meth, people, there's all these stories of people having sex with their own mother and stuff after smoking meth.
Well, we'll do a live stream on YouTube and we'll take a load of meth and we'll just see what happens.
I mean,
just see what happens.
It probably would.
You just don't know. Wouldn't that draw people's attention to our podcast, eh? On the award-winning, meth-ridden podcast, Cheap Show.
It'd be the end of the pod, though, wouldn't it?
It'd be the end of a lot of things for us, to be fair.
It'd be coming out the end of my knob, the spunk.
Oh, that was very poor end. Weak sauce, mate.
Weak sauce. Yeah. Terrible sauce.
Milky, milky dribble.
We're doing night busing tonight. Tell them about night busing.
We're doing night busing tonight. We're both hot and it's going to be a weird one. Anyway, that's what we're doing tonight after we've recorded this.
It is a big one.
Besides all that, thank you for listening to Cheap Show. Thank you for helping us win that Golden Globes Award.
Love it. Love the glowers. Love the showers.
It was an amazing night for us. We might go into a bit more detail on the Patreon pod and talk about
what we did.
Yeah, a bit behind the scenes.
We drank.
Yeah. Keep it for the podcast, for the patrons. However, if you do want to be a patron and find out what we got up to, patreon.com/cheapshow. Give what you can, only if you can. And, you know, thank you for those who do support us. You get podcasts and videos.
All the night busing episodes.
Night busing, extra podcasts, all sorts of stuff, magazines. Amazing gear. For everything else, go to our website, thecheapshow.co.uk. Actually, one-stop shop for everything. And if you start there, you can find us on social medias, YouTube, episode guides, all that kind of thing. Thecheapshow.co.uk. And that's it. Let's wrap this up because I have got a massive grotty sweat on.
It really is very still.
And now that the rain's come down.
You need to get some
great.
Kind of...
It's kind of become like a wet, damp blanket.
A wet dog blanket.
Yeah, wet.
That dog's been on. Can I do a song to finish?
Yeah.
Oh, the flangey man, he came into my room today. He said, I got something to say. I said, why do you have to keep dripping on me? And my eyes are burning from his fishy, fishy tea. See, he's playing something.
He gonna can't... make sweet love to you, baby.
Gonna make sweet love to you, baby. You've got literally nothing.
Gonna make
I had
sweet
a whole
love.
Thing about a flanger man there, and you just have literally, it's you're just a trope machine. Every word is dead. Every word is dead as it leaves you, and you just hide behind machinery. Come on, come up with something about a flanger man coming. Can't you play the game?
Are you wanting my flanger man pan? It's full of creamy wheat and groups.
Are you going to flanger man land?
See you next week.
Bye, everyone.